After 2 years of talking about it, the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve are expected to take action and raise interest rates today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with special coverage of today's interest rate decision. In just over 7 hours from now, we'll know if predictions were right about Federal Reserve policymakers raising short-term rates by a quarter of 1%. This is a decision that affects every person in America, young and old, from Main Street to Wall Street, where we find Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial. Now, it's his job to scrutinize what Fed Chair Janet Yellen actually says today and quickly get on the hoots, the intercom speakers, on FTN trading floors across the country and do a near simultaneous translation for the troops.
The headlines will sort of be yawn as expected. My job is to go over the hoot and start finding those details that are ultimately going to move the market.
I caught up with Chris in a quiet spot just off FTN's trading room overlooking New York's St. Patrick's Cathedral with the Fed decision on everyone's mind.
This is a more complicated Fed decision than we've had in a while. First rate hike in 9 years. Everybody expects it. But what they don't expect is all the stuff that comes with it. There's going to be a new summary of economic projections. Lately, those have been running dovish. This one will be hawkish. And the reason is you don't raise rates and then make an argument to leave them unchanged.
So I want to understand this. So you'll be watching in your office and try to read as much as you can, as quickly as you can?
That's right. I'll have three or four windows open. I've got the Fed website open on one. I'll have a news feed on another, which gives me the headlines, and then the actual Fed statement on a third. You know, all I have to do is read them all at once so I can get my comments out before someone else's economist does.
So what you don't want is someone to see just a narrow headline and start trading and miss something bigger.
If you look at a 10-second ticker of the markets, what you'll usually see is the market moves decisively in one direction. 20, 30 seconds later, you're an equal distance in the other direction. And that's because the initial headlines that break, inevitably people are covering shorts or running into new positions. And then the economists get out and say, wait a minute, there's details here that suggest you've got to go the other way.
So initially, it'll be the moment-to-moment reactions to what we see. But for regular people, it's not what happens now, it's the trend about where the Fed wants to push interest rates over time.
Yeah, that's right. And Janet Yellen 2 Wednesdays ago, I wish people would stop worrying so much about liftoff and start thinking about the path of the federal funds rate over the next couple of years. What I thought was really kind of funny about that is it's rare for a Fed chair to say something and the market to ignore it. I have a feeling the reaction will be different because when they actually raise rates, it tends to underscore everything they say.
Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
After Fed policymakers make their decision about what to do about interest rates, an army of Fed staffers works behind the scenes to actually make it happen. In a world awash with money, the Fed may need some new tricks. We've entered the quiet period at the Fed, where staffers don't talk to the media. But Marketplace's Mark Garrison put together this profile on the person. His name is Simon Potter, who'll be leading the team that's down there in the engine room. He and his colleagues will be typing in the commands they hope will move rates in the intended direction.
People tend to fixate on one word in the biography of the Fed's Simon Potter: British. They talk about his dry wit, Oxford degrees, and other signifiers of his birthplace. Intrigued by the idea of a British-born economist in the role. That doesn't make sense to Gary Hansen, an economics professor at UCLA, where Potter was until leaving to join the Fed in 1998.
I think he probably regards himself as more of an American at this point than he does a British person. So I'm not sure that being British plays out much at all in terms of what he's been doing.
Potter runs the Markets Group at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. His job is to lead a team of traders and analysts who interact with financial institutions. Instead of trading just to make money, like at a Wall Street bank, their goal is hitting the interest rate targets set by the folks in Washington.
When he was named, it wasn't obvious to me. I was a little surprised.
Alan Blinder is a former Fed vice chair.
Not because Simon's not smart and capable. He is, in abundance. But his career was as a research economist. He was not a market technician.
Simon Potter's background is theory. As a professor and author of weighty papers, Wall Street can be pretty skeptical of academics, worried they just don't get the messy world of financial markets. Carl Tannenbaum worked with Potter at the Fed and is now chief economist for Northern Trust. He thinks Potter is up to the task.
He blends a great understanding of the markets with a good, healthy academic perspective on finance. So it gives me a certain amount of confidence that the Fed will be able to handle the steering of the Fed funds rate as we move away from zero well, knowing the gentleman who's going to be leading that effort.
Plenty's at stake. If what Potter's team has planned doesn't keep interest rates in line over time, markets could lose confidence in the Fed. They've been practicing, but whether their moves work is theoretical. It's in many ways the perfect challenge for Potter at a pivotal moment. He began in the pristine world of theory and now finds himself knee-deep in the muck of practice. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Another key story we're monitoring today, progress in Congress that could bring about a $1.1 trillion federal budget deal sometime tomorrow. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.